Now, if you'll open your Bibles with me again to the Gospel of Luke, the book of Luke. Now, what started me to prepare to speak today from this 15th chapter of Luke, what motivated this thing, and I brought a message this morning, most of you were here, on the sinner's Savior from Luke 2, 1 and 2. And I'll continue tonight, the Lord willing, for the rest of the parable. But what motivated me to study this more carefully and closely is I heard the other night, I don't remember what night it was, but one night this week, I heard notable is a better word, I guess, preacher. One quite popular, preaching on television, using what he called the parable of the prodigal son. Some of you may have heard the message, the parable of the prodigal son. Now, I don't mean to be contentious, and I don't mean to be disagreeable, and I don't mean to engage in negative preaching. I think the best preaching is positive preaching. But without being contentious, I say very carefully and very positively, though, there is no parable of the prodigal son. There is no such thing in the Word of God. There's the story within the parable of the prodigal son. But the parable of the prodigal son was not taught alone. It cannot stand alone. It was taught by our Lord Jesus Christ as a part of a parable. And you find it here in Luke chapter 15. These are not three parables. You don't have the parable of the lost sheep and the parable of the lost coin and the parable of the lost son. You have one parable with three parts. I tell you that. Now that's so. And if you're not careful, you'll take the parable of the prodigal son and present things that just aren't true. You have this boy off in a foreign country. There's no seeking of him. There's no Holy Spirit conviction. There's no blood. There's no cross. There's no word preached. He just comes to himself. Without any aid or help or assistance or motivation, he just comes to himself and said, I'd be better off at home. And he heads home. And it's just not that way. You see, this whole thing began, Luke chapter 15, when verse 1, then drew near unto him publicans and sinners for to hear him. These sinners gathered around the Master, the Lord Jesus Christ. The sinners came. They felt welcome. And it's not surprising to find sinners coming to Christ. That's what sinners ought to do, come to Christ. It's not surprising to find sinners seeking the Lord. It's not surprising to find sinners coming to him for help. For they know only in him they can find hope and help. But in the next verse, the Pharisees, the religious leaders, and the scribes murmured. They murmured against him. They saw the Lord Jesus Christ, who many said is that prophet, and the priest of God, and the king of Israel. They saw him, whom many said is the Messiah. They saw him receiving and associating with sinful people. And they were offended. They were greatly offended. And they said, this man receives sinners. And this man eats with sinners and associates with sinners. Now, it's not surprising to find sinners coming to Christ. And it's not surprising to find the religious offended by sinners coming to Christ. Because they said, we be not sinners. We be not sinners. And then our Lord, verse 3, it says, he spake this parable unto them, unto those who murmured and found fault with him receiving sinners. He spake this parable, not these parables, this parable. He spake this parable unto them who had muttered and murmured against his receiving sinners. And this parable is divided into three stories. And it shows the mercy of the Father, the love of the Father, the love and mercy of the Son, and the love and mercy and work of the Holy Spirit in redeeming sinners. That's what it's all about. And each part of the parable, each story, ends with joy over the sinner that repents. When he told the story of the lost sheep, verse 7, look at verse 7. He said, I say unto you, that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth, more than over 99 just persons who need no repentance. Now here he's been talking about a sheep. Not a person, a sheep. But God's persons are sheep. See what I'm saying? He's been talking about a sheep. A fella had some sheep, and one of them was lost, and he went out and found it and brought it home. He said, hey, come in here and rejoice with me. My sheep was lost. I found it. And our Christ, our Lord, said, there's joy in the presence of the angels over one person that repents. And then he tells about a woman who lost a coin. She had 10. She lost one. She began looking for it. And when he finished that part, he said, likewise, I say unto you, same thing, there's joy in the presence of the angels over one sinner that repented. Been talking about a sinner, been talking about a coin. He's been talking about a coin. But we are lost, and the Holy Spirit lights the candle of the Word and finds us. You see, there's the work of the Son, the Shepherd, the Holy Spirit, the woman, using the Word of God, finding the coin. And there's joy over a sinner. And then he talks about the son. Here's a man had two sons. And one of them asked for his inheritance, and so he divided it with both of them. The younger son got one-third, and the older son got two-thirds. But he divided their inheritance. The younger son headed out, wasted it, and came to himself and came home. And down here in verse 24, verse 23, it ends the same way, this part of the parable. Bring hither the fatted calf and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. This my son was dead and is alive. He was lost, he's found, and they began to be merry. One parable. In three parts. And one part of it talks about the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the second part of it talks about the ministry of the Holy Ghost, effectual ministry of the Holy Ghost. And the third part of it talks about the Father to whom the Son belonged. The Father to whom the Son belonged, and it never was. He was lost, but he was still my Son. And the Father who loved him when he was home, and loved him when he was lost, and loved him when he was on his way home, and loved him when he came home. And the Father went out and fell on his neck, embraced him, and kissed him, and received him, and said, let's rejoice. My son was lost, and now he's found. You cannot tell this parable without telling all of it, all three parts of it. Spurgeon said, there are three stories here that make up one parable. And these three stories are three sides of a great pyramid of gospel truth. There is a distinct inscription on each side of the pyramid. It's one parable with three stories or three parts. And on each side of the pyramid, there is an inscription. An inscription that tells one great truth. The Eternal Father, purpose. And planned to redeem a people and gave them to Christ. And he loved them with an everlasting love that's everlasting, that's infinite, that's unchanging. And he receives them that way. The Son came to this earth for the sheep. God made him their surety, gave them to him before the world began. And he found them. He suffered and found them and brought them home. The Holy Spirit, we're going to see in just a moment, is the third person of the Blessed Trinity. And the Holy Spirit comes and illuminates, regenerates, awakens, and reveals the Word of God to the sinner, whom the Father gave to the Son, whom the Son purchased by His own blood. And each one of these stories, Spurgeon continued, is needful to the other. And when they're preached together and received together, they form a clear exposition of God's mercies to sinners. That's what it's all about. But now remember, as we look at it tonight, remember, this is a parable. Someone may say, well, preacher, what's a parable? Well, a parable is an earthly story. And don't forget, it is an earthly story. This is where a lot of preachers get in trouble. And instead of finding, instead of seeing the, what the Lord is saying, and receiving the application, they spend all their time trying to find out
Who's the 99? Who's the elder brother? What did he mean by this? You see, let's don't miss what he's teaching, trying to find out. Someone said one time about a parable, it's an earthly story with a spiritual meaning and lesson. Don't try to exhaust it. Don't try to exhaust it. Don't. Everything may have a meaning, but it may not too. It's still an earthly story. It's still an earthly story. He's speaking to us. What our Lord is doing, he's speaking to us with an illustration, with an analogy. And you just can't make a parable walk on four legs. You just can't do it. Find out what he's saying and receive that and rejoice in it. If you want to look into the other, fine. But don't spend your time over here eating briars when you could eat hay. And then secondly, remember who speaks. It's the Lord Jesus. And don't forget the occasion for the parable. Our Lord was surrounded by sinners. He was surrounded by sinners, guilty people, sinful people, who saw in him hope and mercy and grace. And the religious folks over there, the works people, the self-righteous people, were offended because he received, associated with, and welcomed sinners. So he turned and spake this parable to them. All right, let's look at the lost sheep. Verse 4. What man of you, having 100 sheep, if he lose one of them, doth not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after that which is lost until he find it? And when he found it, he layeth it on his shoulders, rejoicing. When he comes home with his sheep, he calls together his friends and neighbors, saying unto them, rejoice with me, I have found my sheep which was lost. Now, who's the leading character in this part of the parable? Who's the leading character in this story? Is the sheep? No, sir. The 99? No, sir. The neighbors? No, sir. There's one leading character in this part of the parable. The shepherd. Is that right, Bob? The shepherd's the leading character. The shepherd loved the sheep. The shepherd searched for the sheep. Is his sheep? Turn to John 10. Our Lord talks about us being his sheep. I want you to listen to what he said. The shepherd loved the sheep. The sheep was his. He wasn't out looking for stray sheep that belonged to somebody else. His sheep was lost. It was his sheep when it was lost. It was his sheep when he found it. Had his brand on it. In John chapter 10, listen. He calls himself the good shepherd. Verse 11. I'm the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. But he that's an hireling and not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, seeth the wolf coming and leaveth the sheep and fleeing. And the wolf catcheth them and scattereth the sheep. The hireling fleeth because he's a hireling. He doesn't care for the sheep. I'm the good shepherd. I know my sheep. I'm known of mine. As the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father. And I lay down my life for the sheep. And other sheep I have. They're mine. Which are not of this fold. Them also I must bring them. And they'll hear my voice, and there'll be one fold and one shepherd. Therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life, that I may take it again. Now read on down here in verse 23. And later Jesus walked in the temple in Solomon's porch, and the Jews came round about him and said to him, how long are you going to make us doubt? If you are the Christ, tell us plainly. And Jesus answered, I told you, and you didn't believe me. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me, but you don't believe me because you're not of my sheep. You see, my sheep, you're not of my sheep. My sheep hear my voice. They're my sheep. I know them. I know them by name. I call them by name. Where did he get his sheep? The Father gave him these sheep from all eternity. And he said, I know these sheep, and they follow me, and I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. And here in our story, our Lord Jesus Christ is saying, the shepherd loves the sheep. The sheep aren't seeking the shepherd. The shepherd's seeking the sheep. The sheep didn't find the shepherd. The shepherd found the sheep. And he put the sheep on his shoulder and he brought it home. This search was personal. He went out and found the sheep himself. It's a personal search. Our Lord came into this world to save his people. And it was an all-absorbing. What he said when he has 99, he left the 99. Maybe our Lord's talking about He left heaven. He left all of the heavenly host. He left all of the things where he was before the world began. He left those things. He came down to earth. It was a personal search. It was an all-absorbing search. He left these things. He left all and went out into the wilderness. Went into the world. Went into the desert. Came into this world in human flesh. Gave himself in a persevering way. And he searched for his sheep till he found it. And I verily believe this with all my heart. I believe the Lord will find every one of his sheep. Every one of them. There's a man down there in Mexico who listens to Milton Howard. A man named Roberto. A coffee grower. A rancher. And he was out with Milton in the truck one day, and they were driving along. And Milton said, the man said to Milton, he said, "Some time ago I heard you say that the Lord has a people. And you came down here to Mexico to find those people. Okay, you came down here to preach the gospel. To preach the gospel and find those people." He said, "Do you reckon I might be one of them?" Do you believe that? That's the truth, whether we believe it or not. The Lord has a sheep. You see, this is all of grace. The Lord has a sheep. He has a people. The Father gave them to him. And he came down here to this earth to redeem them. He found them. He redeemed them. He put them on his shoulders. He brought them home. It's all of grace. He didn't go find the sheep and rebuke him and say, "Now, you know it's not good pasture out here in the wilderness. You just come on, make your decision, follow me, and I'll meet you at home." No, so he picked him up and put him on his shoulders and brought him home. That's what our Lord is saying. And he's saying it was a lost sheep. And he says there's joy in heaven. Joy in heaven over one sinner that repented. Over one sinner that repented. All right, let's look at the next part of the parable, next stove. And verse 8 begins with either. Either. "What woman having 10 pieces of silver, if she lose one piece, doth not light a candle and sweep the house and search diligently till she finds it?" And when she ever, see, this sheep was lost, this coin's lost. And this part of the parable is exactly where it ought to be. Right in the middle. The Lord Jesus comes, and through his suffering and blood and death, he redeems his people. And then the Holy Spirit comes, and this woman is a picture of the Holy Spirit. And this coin, it's her coin. It belongs to her. But it's a lost coin. And we're God's sheep. But in Adam, we're lost. And we're in the dust. This coin was in the dust. And let me tell you something about it. The coin was ignorant of the fact that it was lost. The coin didn't know it was lost. The coin wasn't saying, "I'm down here. I'm down here on the table. You don't see me, but I'm here. And I'm dirty, and I want to be clean." No, the coin was ignorant of the fact that it was lost, and it was just as content to lie in the dust as to be in the pocketbook. That's us. But the woman wanted her coin. It was her coin. And God's going to have his sheep. And maybe in Mexico, God's going to have his coins. Every one of them. He makes up his jewels. He's not a one going to be missing in his crown. Not a one. And so what does she do? She lights a candle. You've got to have light. And the Holy Spirit lighting the candle. The woman lighting the candle is a picture of the Holy Spirit taking this word, which is the light, and bringing it. The word is the light of life. The word reveals our lost condition. And she took this light, and she searched till she found it. And you see, that's the Ethiopian eunuch was a child of God. He belonged to Christ. There he was down in Ethiopia. He was in a dark country, in a pagan Gentile country. But he belonged to God. He's one of the sheep. He's one of the coins. He's a lost son. He went up to Jerusalem. God put a hunger in his heart for a knowledge of the true God. He went up to Jerusalem, and while he was there, he got hold of the scriptures. And on his way home, he was reading from the book of Isaiah. And God sent a preacher. And that preacher, Philip, came and joined himself with the chariot. And there was the eunuch up there in the chariot reading the scriptures. And Philip said, "Do you understand what you're reading?" He said, "No. How can I?" He said, "Some man show me." And Philip got up in the chariot and Philip began at the same scripture and preached Christ to him. And light came in his heart. See, that's light. Light to show him his lost condition. Light to show him his need of Christ. Light to show him who Christ is. That's the light. That's the work of the Holy Spirit. And the Heavenly Father, this is true now, the Heavenly Father has given to the Son a people. They're pictured here as sheep, they're pictured here as a coin. And the Son came down here in the wilderness and gave his life to find his sheep. But here the Holy Spirit comes, and the Holy Spirit brings light and revelation and knowledge that the sheep and the coin might be found. Now here will help us even more. And then our Lord said, and he said, there's joy over one sinner that repenteth. Now verse 11. And he said, a certain man had two sons. Let me ask you, who was the leading character in the second story? The woman. Not the Cohen, the woman. Not the neighbors that came in. The woman's the leading character. In the first one's the shepherd, Christ. In the second, it's the woman with the light. That's the Holy Spirit. Now in this third thing here, look at this. And a certain man had two sons. Well, let me just tell you the story to save time. Then one of the sons asked, said, give me my portion of the inheritance. And the father divided it to both of them. Gave the younger son his and the other son his. Who is the elder brother? I don't know. We'll work on that sometime. But he's not the leading character. He's not the one upon whom our attention must be focused. The leading character is this boy left home and went down there in a pagan foreign country and lived like a rebel and spent everything he had. Everything he had. And he came to himself. He realized. He said, why? He said, I'm starving. And how many hired servants in my father's house have plenty of bread and spare? And here I am starving. I'm going to go home. And I'm going to say to my father, I've sinned against heaven and in your sight, and I'm not worthy to be called your son. Make me as a hired servant. So he started home. And evidently that father, since that boy left, had spent much time standing, looking through a window or leaning on a rail fence with a broken heart, loving that boy, watching for him. This is the love of the Father. You see, the leading character in this part of the parable is the Father. Not that boy, it's the Father. Christ is showing the compassion and mercy and love of the Father for his lost son. And he stood there by that fence or in that window or doorway and watched. And one day, one afternoon, that old man saw a familiar figure top the hill, a ragged bum. And he knew the walk. And he didn't stand there in the window and say, well, the little rebel left. I'll just wait and see what he's got to say. I'm going to wait and see if he's repentant enough or broken enough. Or I don't know whether I'm going to take him. No, he literally ran. Can you picture the Heavenly Father running? But that's what we have here. He ran. He ran for joy. He ran with compassion. He ran with affection as his boy. And he loved that boy regardless of who he was or what he was or what he had done. Now you see where this parable was born. These sinners, these fallen men and women were around our Lord, and these religious fellows said, what are you doing associating with those folks? And our Lord talking to them about it. You see there? That sheep was lost, but that shepherd loved him enough to go find him at any cost. That coin was lost. That woman lit a candle and hunted it at any cost. That father stood and looked for that boy. He's his boy. He loves him. He's not somebody else's boy. His boy. And he waited when he just saw that man coming over that hill. He literally ran out there, just charged out there on the top of that hill. And the scripture said he grabbed that boy and kissed him. And the boy backed off. He said, Father, he said, I've sinned against you. I've sinned against heaven and in your sight. And I'm not worth. Just make me a servant. Just make me a hired servant. And his daddy didn't even pay any attention to all these objections. He began to call him, kill the fatted calf. Kill that calf I've been saving for months and months and months. And call my friends in, put shoes on his feet, and a robe on his back, and a ring on his finger. My son's alive. He was dead. He kissed him again. And he kissed him again. That's the Father. But you see, our Lord, oh, I love His Word. I'm so overjoyed with His Word. There's a work of grace here. It's so beautiful. Which the sheep cannot portray. The sheep is an animal. And our Lord Jesus Christ is illustrating His love and His sacrifice and His work to redeem His people. He goes and finds a sheep. Sheep that makes no contribution. A sheep that has no understanding. A sheep that's just there. And He goes, does it all. Every bit of it. He loved it. He sought it. He sacrificed. He suffered. He found it. He found it. No response. He found it. Picked it up. He put it on His shoulder. And He brought it home. That's the Savior. And He has no rival. He has no competitor. He does it all. The woman is the Holy Spirit. And the coin's lost. It's in the dust. It doesn't move. It's there in the dust. It also has no response. And the light comes. And the coin is found. But that sheep and that coin cannot properly illustrate God's people. You see, that's what a parable. It can't do it. You can't make it stand alone. Can't do it. Because with a sheep, there's no repentance. There's no remorse. There's no plea for help. With a coin, same thing. But let me tell you something. The work of the Holy Spirit of God in the heart of a sinner produces a realization of sin. And that's why you got to have this lost son. This lost son is no robot. This lost son is no dumb animal. This lost son is a man who's lost, but he's still got a mind and an ear and an eye and a heart and some thoughts. And he's got to come back home. He's got to come willingly. He got to come lovingly. He got to come so that he ain't going to leave again. He's got to come thankfully, John. He's got to. So we got to have this son in this story. And so the son out there comes to a realization of his lost condition, of his unhappy condition. And he repents. He said, I've sinned. I've sinned against heaven. When he came back to his father, he said, I'm going home. I tell you, people who come to Christ, they're not drugged to Christ. You don't take them and drag them to Christ. They come willingly. They come willingly. They come because they don't want to be anywhere else but home. They don't want to be with anybody else but Him. They don't want to look to anybody else but Him. And this son came to a realization of what he was, what he had done. He repented of it. I've sinned. And he willingly said, I'm going home. And when he came home, he uttered the first words out of his mouth, I'm not worthy of your love or your kindness, and I'm willing to be a servant, not even a servant. I'm willing to labor in the backyard. I'm willing to feed the pigs. I'm willing to do anything. Just let me be at home with you. See that? You see that? And that's the reason I say to you, this parable cannot be divided. It cannot be divided. It's our Lord Jesus Christ saying to these critics, this is why I came. I have some sheep. I have some people. My Father has some sons. And they all coming. I'm going to find them. I came down here to save them. And they're every one going to repent. They're every one are going to see who they are and what they are and what they've done. They're coming home with a plea for mercy and a confession of sin. And I'll tell you, when they get home, they won't be rebuked. They'll be received. And the Father loves them. The Son loves them. The Holy Spirit loves them. And the Father loves them. And He calls them. And He receives them. And there's joy and glory when one of His sheep come home. All right. Mike, you come lead us in a song. And we're going to have a baptismal service.